There wasn't any special sort of subject in mind upon which we could have a discussion, or something maybe we could benefit from and attain some nafi or some benefit or discuss. But by chance, and Imam Sahib just now told us a hadith, he announced a hadith, and very alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, beneficial, and a hadith of great use that Mawlana Sahib presented and mentioned. And I then, it triggered the subject in my mind that some days ago in a majlis, there was a hadith that we read upon this subject, similar to this subject. And I said to you that inshallah, this is the first part, and the rest, the other two parts, we will discuss upon these. So today that hadith, when it was read and mentioned, and I remember the subject that I mentioned the other day, and so we will start on that subject today and continue our discussion. Those brothers who are in that majlis, in that gathering, they will remember that we read a hadith, and those who are present, they will remember, and those who weren't will inshallah understand that we will continue from there. And that hadith that I read, it was a hadith from Tirmidhi, and Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, he narrated this hadith, and the situation of the narration, the circumstances around the narration was that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was the Khalifa of his time. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he was the Khalifa at that time, the Amir of the Ummah. And in Masjid al-Nabawi, in the Prophet's Mosque sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came and he stood on the minbar, on the pulpit. And before delivering the khutbah, the sermon, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq became emotional and started to cry. And after crying, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu said that last year in the same place, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the same way, was stood to give and was about to give the khutbah to deliver the sermon. And what I'm about to say to you, that is the subject, and before the subject was mentioned, in the same way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to become, he was emotional and cried. And after that, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu presented that hadith. And he stated that Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that after yaqeen, having yaqeen, certainty, conviction, the biggest ni'mah, the biggest ni'mah is af and afiyat, if this is given to somebody. Yeah? So what we should do is that we should ask Allah for af and afiyah. We should request this. We should request this from Allah. And this was the hadith. So we, when we looked at this hadith the previous day, there are three things here that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned. One is yaqeen, one is af, and one is afiyah. And with regards to these, the importance of these three was mentioned in such a way that if a person attains these, then he's got the greatest ni'mah that is in his life. So how valuable are these ni'mahs? How valuable? Tell me. Allah Barak wa ta'ala, may He give us all of these and put them into our destiny. Because if they are the greatest ni'mah, the greatest wealth, and if we attain them, we're the most fortunate. So we then spoke in depth that day with regards to yaqeen, certainty, belief. And this Ajiz, humble servant, said that whatever the pious elders have mentioned on this subject, not my words, what we've heard and learned from the pious elders before us. So yaqeen, with regards to yaqeen, we discussed that first point, which is the first of the three great ni'mas. Then how should a person have yaqeen? That is the haqq of every Muslim to have this. Because iman, after having iman, belief, everybody has iman, alhamdulillah. And everyone has aqeedah, the belief, the principles of belief. But very few people have yaqeen. Very few. Everyone has aqeedah. Everyone has aqeedah upon Allah, upon the Qur'an, upon salah, upon recitation, upon the Qur'an. We have aqeedah, don't we? But yaqeen, this is very, very few people who have possessed yaqeen. And what's yaqeen? About which Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, yaqeenan sadiqan. This is not a lecture or a speech, rather a very beneficial message. We should listen clearly that this is something that will benefit us very soon. And in reality, this yaqeen, the loss of yaqeen for us is the loss of the hereafter. Remember this point. If we don't have yaqeen, then we are losing the hereafter. So if we have iman and aqeedah, but we don't have yaqeen, then what's the use of the iman and the aqeedah? We don't have that, the polished, the full item. And what kind of yaqeen? Yaqeenan sadiqan. And what is the meaning of this? That such a yaqeen, that just like a person, he is seen with his own eyes visible. This is the yaqeen of a mu'min. Just like when you see something for real, with your eyes, and you know that this is a fact, the same way iman, al-yaqeen should be so strong that we know that this is a fact, and nothing can make our iman shake. That's how yaqeen should be so strong. Doesn't matter about what circumstances surround us, there should be nothing lacking in our yaqeen. And this is the situation with regards to my and your yaqeen. Brothers, think we eat halal meat, halal chickens, and this is the secret behind the success of iman. Me, I need to listen, and you need to listen. Maut, death comes, it should come with the strong yaqeen. Yaqeen and sadiqan. So if we have this yaqeen with iman, with our aqeedah, then we are successful. Now, when such a yaqeen comes, like I am seeing, I have the iman, such that I feel that I'm seeing with my eyes what has been mentioned. All the glad tidings Allah Ta'ala has given, the good news, the rewards. Will Allah Ta'ala not deliver this? Will He not present this to us? If a message reaches to me, the Qur'an, the verses of the Qur'an, or the hadith, then I need to ask myself, what is my yaqeen? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying something, and the hadith has been mentioned from Allah, the message has come, that your amal, your deeds, and the best amal, the best deed, yes, in the eyes of your Lord, the best deed and the most purest of deed, which will elevate your rank, your status to the highest. And it is, even if you spend gold and silver in mass, it will be better than that. And if you are in opposition to someone and you're making effort, and you make an effort even greater than that effort, and the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, please tell us, what is that action? And Allah's Rasul said, that action is dhikr Allah, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. And the person who has yaqeen that Allah has stated this, and the elevation, the status, the reward, the purity of this action, in every way, this action is superior, then will that person leave dhikr? Will he listen, leave the masjid after the announcement? I'm telling you, the splashes, or the portion that we should have within our hearts of yaqeen, the amount, the percentage, that when we hear these things, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when the gathering of dhikr takes shape and starts, then Allah Ta'ala releases special angels to the earth. Go and look around the earth, that where is my special gathering taking place? And the angels wander around the world. Where are the people remembering Allah, doing dhikr? And then an angel sees, oh, there's a group of people sitting there, jamaat, they're doing dhikr. And he shrieks out, screams out. The whole dunya listens to the echo of what that angel is saying. We don't hear, but we should have so much yaqeen that we're listening. This is what our iman should be. That there's a majlis. Oh, and the angel will call out. Oh, what am I doing here? What am I doing? Such a great majlis. And the angel will call out. Who? Oh, he'll say to the other angels, listen, come. Look, we've met our objective. We've achieved our objective. I've seen what we were looking for. We've seen what we had to look and report. I found it. They're sitting in the masjid. They're doing the dhikr of Allah. And the angels will descend in their droves. And so many angels descend, this is the hadith, not my words, that between the earth and the heavens, there's no space, no gap, nothing left which isn't filled by the angels. And you people, mashallah, have yaqeen, and you've come here to listen and to build your yaqeen. Listen to the word. So many angels descend, they come down, they come to the earth, and when that jamaat that's sitting down, they spread their wings and surround and envelope that gathering and bring the people under their shade and comfort. So here, this is the word of under their shade, under their comfort. The word, sorry, under the shade. Under, not that they wrap them, not that they grab them, but under the shade. And what do? They create a barrier, shade, an obstacle, a wall between Jahannam and the Dhakirin. That's what they do. So Aqeedah, we have Aqeedah, but we don't have Yaqeen. If we had Yaqeen, then would I not reach to the gathering of Dhikr? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that that tongue is speaking. It is saying, upon which the person who doesn't have Yaqeen, he cannot stay a mu'min. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his blessed statement, this is the statement of Nabi Al-Kareem, who speaks from Wahi. He speaks from revelation. He doesn't speak of his own accord. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allahu Akbar, if a person, a friend of Allah, an individual human being comes to Fajr, and prays Salah in Fajr, in congregation, and after Fajr, Jama'ah congregation, there's the Dhikr of Allah, and he sits down in the majlis, in the gathering, and he is included until the sunrise, until the sun comes out, and he is busy, in immersed in Dhikr, and he's reciting the beautiful kalimat that are beloved to Allah, and he does Dhikr in his heart, and then he enjoys the Dhikr, and then he's grateful to Allah. When he finishes Dhikr at the time of sunrise, after sunrise, he prays 2 rak'ah salah. Then it's announced suddenly after he completes the salah that he is forgiven and he gets the reward of 1 hajj and 1 umrah. So do you prefer the bed and the mattress? The people of Yaqeen tell me that, will you like anything else at that time? Then it's realized here that we should look at our practice. And what do we do with our time? And where's our yaqeen? Those people who don't have yaqeen, where's their iman? What are we doing? That the person who has yaqeen, or what I'm saying, if I say now, announce that outside there are some committee members, Hafiz Adithab is there, and he's got the bag, and he says, whoever passes here, I'll give him £100. If we didn't want to go that way, do you go that way? Because you have yaqeen, he's standing there, and he said himself, and if the Rabb is saying, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, then will he not give all of these things? Will it not deliver trust? So this is not the religion of words. This is not the religion of gossip. This is not the religion of chat. This is the religion of yaqeen, belief, conviction, and following our convictions. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't do this action X, Y, Z, it will take you to hellfire. Would we then follow and do the action? Will I make an appearance like that? Will I do those actions in the day, the sins? Well, I won't even go close. That so much yaqeen, a person he's seeing with the eyes, Rasulullah saw with his eyes that this is hellfire, and the man standing in hellfire, how can I do these actions? And he delivered the message to us, and if I have yaqeen that Allah is announcing, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that my one sunnah, if you follow it, you will get such a massive reward, so massive we cannot imagine. And the person who has yaqeen, can he not practice on the sunnah? Will he be ashamed? Will he leave the sunnah? His life, the sunnah will become his life. He'll find out, where's the sunnah here? What's the sunnah for this action? How do I do this in the sunnah way? How do I implement this? So clear cut, we're being told. We're being shown the mirror. Total clear mirror. That you are munafiq and you are lying. You don't have yaqeen. You don't have conviction. So much reward. Amazing reward. And we don't understand what is the sunnah. We don't understand that what is the sunnah, what is the sunnah we should practice in this time, at this part of the day, appearance, libas, giving, taking, everything. We follow our nafs, our desires. We want the thawab, the reward of our desires. We don't want Allah and Allah's Rasul system's ways and methods and explanation. So this is the basis, this is the criteria of yaqeen. If a person has yaqeen, he won't leave any good deed, he will run to the good deeds, he will know that this is a good deed. And this good deed, if for example, so many pounds of mine are going into the till, I feel it, and this is dust and dirt and soil in comparison to the woods, that if I'm getting 27 times more reward for praying Salah and Jama'ah, this is my life, and the money that's going into my bank, that's temporary thawab, temporary reward. Tell me, only that person will implement this who has yaqeen. And this is the point I'm saying. I've spoken on this a few times before, maybe those brothers were there at that time, so I spoke on this a little bit. Now we'll progress. I said there were 2 parts left and we'll speak about that. So today Imam Sahib mashallah has reminded me, and I will now continue with this hadith and we will progress our discussion. So the second point that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in this hadith, from the biggest ni'mas, first is yaqeen. So you understand how great is yaqeen now? We've revised that, gone over it again. The second thing is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, af. Which, what is this, af? What is the definition, what is the meaning, the pious elders, how have they commentated on this? So we'll give the meaning, ma'afi, yeah, af, forgiving, isn't it? Direct or literal, okay. So when we have the word forgiveness or forgiving, so the thing that comes to mind is that somebody committed a sin and he's asking for forgiveness. Or he did something wrong and he says, Allah forgive me, I've done wrong, I've committed a wrong action. I've made a mistake. So how can this be a great ni'mah? How can this be a great reward? Now, what we understand here is that this is there's no doubt, that insan, the human being, he commits a sin or he makes a mistake, then he asks Allah for forgiveness, that Allah made a mistake. But there's a bigger meaning than this for af. Because Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this and he was crying, stating this. So there must be a different scenario for this word. Where Rasulullah sallallahu is crying and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu cried. So there must be something more deep meaning to this, something valuable behind the meaning of this. Not that just we ask for Allah's forgiveness after committing a sin. There's something bigger and more important behind the meaning of this. What is that? Let's look, brothers. Let's understand. Now we have committed a sin or done something wrong. We ask for forgiveness. Alhamdulillah. And Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq that we have actually felt the regret and remorse, and we ask Allah for forgiveness. And then on the day of judgment, the hisab will start, the accounting. And the sins we committed, we've asked Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, haven't we? And Allah Ta'ala will forgive if somebody asks for forgiveness, isn't it? Inshallah. When we stand on the day of judgment in the court of Allah, and when we see that all of our sins were forgiven, but they're still not the end of the road. We haven't completed that journey. There's such a sin. There's one type of sin or action that nobody can be saved from the consequences until that question is asked. Oh, if Allah Ta'ala is upon His Rahmah Mercy, He's the Khaliq, the Malik, the Qadir. He can decide. But we need to be prepared. We cannot be complacent. If this question is asked and we fail, and this question can be asked, what is the question? Every man is involved in this. Every man loses out due to this. And on the third degree. And what is the question? That if that question is asked, or we're analyzed or judged on this, we cannot be saved. Because no deed can compare to this. From between the heavens and the earth, bring all the amal, the deeds. But the question that Allah asks, and what He asks for justification and clarification, nobody can oppose that. Nobody can combat that. This is the big point here. And without that, we cannot go into paradise. It will be cold. Our deeds will be cold. So Af, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is crying. He's emotional and he's explaining to us the meaning of this. So we need to understand this. So what is the question? If Allah Ta'ala asks this question, He can ask this question. Allah Ta'ala will say, come here, my servant. Okay, now do you understand? No, still don't understand? Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will say, look. Now I will present or bring something forward. I will bring out my ni'mas. That I gave all your life long, I gave you my ni'mas, Allah will say. My gifts, my rewards, I'll put all the ni'mas on one side and your deeds, amal, on one side. Now you prove to me, my servant, that from which of your deeds did you fulfill and repay the rights due to me, Allah will say. How did you fulfill the rights of the ni'mas I gave to you? All your life you prostrated. If you prostrated your life long, but we cannot fulfill the right of even one of Allah's ni'mas that He's given to us in this life. Tell me, is there any servant, every man, who can repay the rights due to Allah for one ni'mah? Allah Ta'ala says, you cannot even count all of the ni'mahs are given to you. And it's mentioned in the Quran. We can't even repay the rights due to one of Allah's ni'mahs, one of Allah's favors to us. Tell me, is there one of Allah's favors that we've repaid the rights due to it? Stand up, anyone here, and say, Allah, I fulfilled your rights and repaid the rights due to your ni'mahs that you gave to us. Is there anyone who can do this? Put his hand up. Is there? Our hal is what? That worship, mashallah, everyone emphasizes, but our situation, our scenario, we have everything. But by chance, if this one thing that's lacking, and that's being highlighted here, that why is this, all of the other ni'mas, Allah Ta'ala says, forget everything else in the world. That what should really happen is that we should have nothing, maybe. Assets, material, anything. Maybe the spiders are there devouring our skin. And maybe my hands and feet are injured, or there's nothing I can do, I can't move around. Nothing. Despite that, a man should say, Allah, even now your ni'mas you have given to me, and I cannot repay the rights due to the ni'mas you've given to me. This is the relationship between Allah and His servant. So let's imagine I am immobile, I'm not capable, I'm disabled, nothing's functioning, and still then I have too many favors of Allah upon me that I cannot repay. And I'm saying this, if anyone has an issue or problem, he doesn't see anything else in his life, that Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas are surrounding him. He is overwhelmed. He says, oh, I'm ill, I've got a headache, oh, my leg, oh, my stomach ache, oh, this, oh, that, oh, why have I got these problems? And all of these issues, so-called, revolve in his brain. He doesn't say, my Rabb Allah, and your ni'mas, you give me so much, and with such hardship will come out of his lips the gratefulness for Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas. Even despite the fact that time that person's drowning in Allah's gifts and favors, even when a person in the world so-called is inflicted with the most of the issues and the problems in the world, even then he's drowned in Allah Ta'ala's favors. And a problem, when a person's faced with problems, doesn't he say Allah from his mouth? Once, at least, has he not said Allah? The person who says Allah once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that 70 times I look a glance to that person with my rahmah, with the vision of rahmah. And think upon the action of dhikr now. A person, we run away from Allah's name, we run away from the dhikr of Allah. Tell me, is there anyone? 70 times Allah ta'ala's nazar, his rahmah, mercy, Allah ta'ala glances to the person who says Allah's name once, and Allah glances 70 times with his mercy. And we run away from Allah's dhikr. So if a person's ill, will he not have said, Allah? Allah says, okay, you are ill, you are unwell, sick. Did I not give you the tawfiq to recite my name? 70 times I glance with my rahmah, mercy on you, when you said Allah once. Don't you know what is this ni'mah? What is the reward? So think here now, we coming to this majlis. It's not my majlis. This is not my gathering, this is Allah Ta'ala's gathering, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. I don't link to this. If we think, oh, I'm not coming here because Faruqi Sahib is hosting dhikr, I'm not going there. If somebody else comes, I'll go to dhikr. If somebody else comes, I'll do this. No, he's hosting dhikr. If he comes, the other person comes, then I'll go. Then you are looking at the human beings and deciding upon that selection. You've got a selection criteria. No, close your eyes. Dhikr is happening. Don't know who's the host, who's reciting. But it's Allah's name, isn't it? It's the durood of Rasulullah. It's the dhikr of Allah, isn't it? So I don't need to have the criteria of who is hosting the gathering, and then only if it fits my criteria will I go. No. So, do you understand that saying Allah once, how long we will sit here, you, me, with the fadl, with Allah's grace, with His blessings, we're sitting, we'll recite Allah's name so many times, we'll hear Allah's name so many times, our heart will say Allah's name so many times, we'll recite durood. Then tell me, can I be grateful for these ni'mas? Can I repay the shukr? What can I do? I cannot even repay 1%. Is this right or wrong? So, the question will be asked, that you did not fulfill my rights, Allah will say, fulfill my rights now. Nobody will be able to do that. So how will we release from that trap? Then Allah Ta'ala mentions in this hadith, Af. That health, upon the defective health, you ask for Allah Ta'ala to forgive your sins. That's fine. You ask for the forgiveness for all other actions. But the reality is this, Allah Ta'ala says, that the true forgiveness you need to attain is for this action in this world, that Allah, we could not fulfill your rights. We could not fulfill your haqq that was due to you. And this is called asking Allah forgiveness for this point. And this is the big, big ni'mah. And we never say this in the dua to Allah. Allah, I'm so grateful to you, Allah, but Allah, I couldn't fulfill your rights. I couldn't fulfill the haqq due to you, Allah. You have so many ni'mahs you've given to me. I couldn't repay them. And if our hearts say this and our emotions feel this, then we have fulfilled and repaid the haqq to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the big, the Allah, the creator. And after Allah, the greatest human being was Rasulullah, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest. And why did he, for example, come to us and give us this message? And why was he emotional at that time? Because he at that time was fulfilling the haqq due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this. Na'udhu billah, he was innocent. He didn't commit any sins, nor behind, nor in front, nor to the left, nor to the right, nowhere. Listen carefully, there's a beautiful point that comes out here, arises here. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, that in front of you and behind you, there's nothing left for you, there's no issues. In front of you or behind you. And here the good news has been given to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Allah Ta'ala saying this, that in front of you and behind you, Allah Ta'ala says, the path is clear, it's been paved for you. That I accept that you have fulfilled my haqq in the dunya. And you have nothing to say or to give the accounts for. You have fulfilled the haqq. Why are you afraid? You have no sins. You are the Nabi. You are innocent. So the hint here Allah Ta'ala is giving here is that we've accepted, Allah Ta'ala says, that there's nothing for you to repay because you have asked for forgiveness and your forgiveness request has been accepted and your istighfar has been accepted. You have nothing in front of you or behind you. You have nothing in front of you to ask forgiveness for. You will not leave anything behind and have accepted your request in this world and your haqq has been fulfilled. Oh, my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you are the one who will explain about shifa, intercession, maqam-e Mahmood, you will sit in that place and all of the anbiya, the prophets of the world will go behind you. You are the leader, and without you the door of Jannah will not open. First you will go into paradise, then others will enter after you. Then others. So Allah Ta'ala has announced this in the Quran, in this world, on planet Earth. Oh my Mahbub, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why do you fear? Why are you afraid? I've seen your istighfar and your emotions and your pleading and you have fulfilled the haq due to me, and I've paved the way clear for you in front and behind. And that's what others think maybe differently on this, but this is what I've understood from this point of the deen. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking of this about Allah, then will we run behind and forget what is being said? We are drowned in the sins. We don't even know how to ask the forgiveness for the sins. We have to do both. We have to ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive us for our sins, and the more important forgiveness we have to ask for is, Allah, we could not fulfill the rights due to you for the favors that you gave to us on this point. Do you understand now what is af? Seeking forgiveness from Allah for this. First, elevate your yaqeen. Strengthen your yaqeen, O mu'min. And then secondly, ask Allah Ta'ala for af, for forgiveness. And the third thing, afiyah, afiyat, that Mulana Sahib mentioned. Subhanallah, this is a big, big feeling and condition. Now we think afiyat, we've just limited this for health. Oh, I'm well. Oh Allah, he's ill, give him health. That's good, that's fine. We say this, isn't it? Allah, give him afiyah. Give him afiyah, bil afiyah. We think we were sick and then we were cured. Allah Ta'ala give us afiyah. This is a very small meaning. This is very broad and expansive, this word. Very, very broad, very broad. The pious elders have stated that afiyah is very big subject, and a meaning to this is layers and layers and layers and massive. That in comparison to this, to give the detail for this word, there are no words to define afiyah. How Allah Ta'ala has summarized it and condensed it. There's such a heavy meaning, so many treasures, that if anybody, there's no one to commentate or translate this or give commentary. And today, one thing we can understand, that there's no ill health and nothing that can explain and define afiyah. Because afiyah isn't in opposition to ill health or unwell or sick. Allah, give me afiyah, don't put me into any test, Allah. So what we realize from this, that this word has been explained by the pious elders, that this is the definition that suits this word. It's such a vast, expansive, broad word, that Allah, don't put us into any trial or test or challenge in this world or thereafter. In the world, you have the children, you have health, you have wealth, you have money issues, you have body issues, you have physical issues. Allah, don't give me enmity with anyone in the world. Allah, don't give me any trial or test or problem in the world. You understand the clear? This is the meaning of afiyah. So you're asking opposite to that. Allah, give me well-being state or position to these difficult states. And for the akhirah, afiyah, well-being, you say all of the trials, Allah, from death to the grave to the hashar day, all of the trials and the challenges, Allah, please take me away from all of these and give me afiyah and well-being, because I don't want to be in the problems, Allah, after death. And we're asking Allah Ta'ala to save us from that. So these are the three things Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us on the mimbar. On his mimbar. And these three things, if a person, a human being, any person attains these three things, yaqeen, that every Muslim believer, mu'min, should attain this, then in the world he has the greatest ni'mah. Can there be a greater ni'mah than yaqeen? Can there be a greater ni'mah than from afiyah? After what we've heard and explained to each other? No. Do you understand the subject now? You understand it? Clear? So I've discussed and mentioned, have you all got yaqeen after listening to me? Are you all awake and alert? Is your yaqeen strong now? You're totally strong now? Is it? MashaAllah, yaar, that's a miracle, that my yaqeen and your yaqeen is strong. Even this quick, the Sahaba's yaqeen was informed and built upon that quickly, subhanAllah. So I've just presented this hadith and I've spoken about af, and of all of the feelings and emotions of af coming to you, and you know how to ask to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've got that style and mannerism now. That's the difference. Taqreer, the speech or discussion, gives information. Information has been delivered and exchanged. The details have come into your brain, into your mind. And we understand and realize that we need this. This is our objective. This is the destination of into. It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't come into ground realities yet, because nobody can physically implement due to the speech or the discussion. We have gained the information. We have realized the information, but nothing's happened yet. Nothing's happened yet. It hasn't realized yet. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you've mentioned this in the bayan, in your bayan. So how do we bring this into action? Subhanallah. So can anything be devoid after hearing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So first was explained yaqeen and af and afiyah. And here we learn how to bring these into our life. What was stated in the hadith, you remember the words? The physical implementation has been explained, that ask from Allah for af, For afiyah and for yaqeen. These three things. So if we want to attain these three things, what do we need to do? We need to do dua to Allah. Remember, this was mentioned in the hadith. Like Imam Sahib said, the Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, when he mentioned this, and he mentioned this dua, that in these two dua, these two times the dua is accepted. What is the dua? Ask for af and afiyah. So what does this mean? So it's obvious here that do this dua, recite dua to ask for these things. Because we haven't come into this being yet, into this feeling yet. What do we need to do? Say it loudly. What do we need to do? So what we realize is that we need to revise this dua. We need to make it solid, permanent, and inscribe it on our hearts and our minds. We need to say, Allah give me Jannah, Allah save me from hellfire, Allah give me this and this and A, B, C, D, F, G. But if we ask these three things, then we've asked for everything that can be asked for. Therefore, I'm not saying this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us this. This is the biggest ni'mah, the biggest dua. How? Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu. And he was the blessed uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and very beloved uncle, and close to Rasulullah. Not just the uncle, he was like a friend. And there was a difference of 1 year, the age. He was the uncle, but there was a difference of 1 year. So it was like friendship, friends, colleagues. And there was no official sort of environment. It was nice, relaxed environment between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his uncle. And look here, with that love, he said, "Oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell me a dua. Tell me a prayer that I can recite." And who is asking? Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu. And who is he asking from? Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then tell me, what will be the selection of the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will give to his uncle, his dear uncle? What a gift he would have given in reply. And such a condensed and summarized dua that Allahu Akbar, that all of the elevation and the rank and the status of a person will increase. And due to his fadl, due to his mashallah sadaqah, due to the Ahle Bayt, we have received this learning, this teaching. So my dear uncle, you should ask Allah Ta'ala for af and afiyah. Ask Allah for af and afiyah. Subhanallah. Is that it? And then he departed. Then after 2 days he came back. Then, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me a dua that I can recite it. The same question. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the same reply. The same dua. Fi dunya wal akhirah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related it to the world and the akhirah. Then ask Allah for af and afiyah. In both places. So how important will be this dua? And Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu went with this dua. Now how important this dua must be, and we should recite it. So first thing here is that to attain these three things that we don't have, maybe, we need to do dua. And this should be a big part of our dua, that Allah give me afwa wa afiyah fi dunya wal akhirah. That Allah in this world and the akhirah give me af and afiyah in the world, in this world and the hereafter. If you can't say in Arabic, say in Urdu. If you can't say in Urdu, say in whatever language you can. Okay, you've done the dua. Is that it? End of story? Subject closed? After dua, do you have yaqeen? I'm asking you, I'm going to take you to the solution. Does yaqeen come into your heart after dua? Okay. If you say yes, it's come. Dua is accepted, yes. Let me tell you this now, and let me tell you how the dua is accepted. You listening to me carefully? You're paying attention? Okay, listen, because everything needs to be understood properly. You've asked for dua, Allah give me this maqam. Allah, I've got yaqeen, Allah will accept my dua. Allah will say, do the dua, make dua, pray to me, and I'll give to you. There are some conditions, your earnings should be halal, you should do good deeds, and you should obey Allah, and you raise your hands, and you do dua to Allah, Allah accepts. Who? That Allah, Allah promises, you ask me and I'll give to you. So I say, Allah, give me a house. Give me a house. Will the house come to you outside? I say, Allah, give me this car. And I look outside the window. Is Jibreel Islam coming, dropping the car off, Mercedes in the driveway or from the heavens? Because have you heard this from before today? If Allah Ta'ala wants, He will do it. He can do it. But we ask for dua. Allah, have we ever looked outside? Has that thing arrived? The item arrived? Does it come? Does it drop from the sky? It can come. It's not hard. If Hazrat Musa alayhi salam's qawm, that Allah Ta'ala could give manna wa salwa, and the food came, the dishes came, the delicacies came, the sweet dish came, but the principle of the world, Allah Ta'ala says, the world revolves on the means. This is a sunnah ilahi, Allah Ta'ala sunnah, that you have to take the means to get to the end. You have to utilize the means. So what I mean is, Allah, I do dua, Allah, give me a house. I've made a dua, and it's accepted. But what do I need to do to get the acceptance of the dua physically? Allah Ta'ala has created the means for us. Stand up. How? You need money for the house? Allah says, you made the dua. Now you will try that you need to get money, earn money, save money so you can buy a house. So wherever you work, whatever you do, the path that you will follow to earn a crust, you don't have a job, you'll say, please give me a job. They say, okay, fine, we'll give you a job, we'll give you £100. And I take that job up. I've done the dua, I've committed the dua, I've recited the dua to Allah, alhamdulillah, that man with the 100 pounds, he will get that house. Because the dua is accepted and he is utilizing the means, the left leave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rest leave to Allah. Allah ta'ala says, with the 100 pounds I will give you the house because your dua has been accepted. Do you understand? Now a car, you've made dua for the car. Allah ta'ala will create the means that I will go to such a job, will start such a business, that the car that I like, how much money do I need, and money will come from that job, and I will go and buy that car and my dua will be accepted. You understand the point now? That acceptance of dua. So Allah Ta'ala will give that person the means through which he can attain and purchase what he wants or attain what he wants. But the sabab, the means are important. So we've made a dua now. That Allah give me afwa, afia. Give me forgiveness and afia and yaqeen and sadaqah. And Allah, we've done dua after hearing this discussion, these words. Our consciousness has become awakened. I should make this dua. Alhamdulillah, we've done this. And we've heard this. We've heard this. And Allah Ta'ala listens. And Allah Ta'ala will then create the means. And we need to take hold of those means. We need to utilize those means. So how do you buy a house? You need money, isn't it? So Allah will give you money through the job or the business. So what are the means that you get yaqeen and you can have the emotion and the feeling of af, and you can know how to ask for afia? What are the means for this? When you utilize the means for this, then you will be given these three ni'mas of Allah. What are the means for this? The Quran tells us, if you want yaqeen, then sit with the ahl yaqeen, sit with the people of yaqeen. If you want af, then sit with that person who already has attained af, who has already accepted af, and these are the ahlullah, the walis of Allah. And this is the sub of the means, and that's why we go to the walis of Allah, to the sheikh. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or am I wasting my effort? Do you understand now? So that's why we go to the friends of Allah, not to get blow, for them to blow, do dam on us. Not for the pook. No, the people who go to the wali of Allah, the sheikh who has an intention, he wants akhirah, hereafter, they go to the sohbat, the company, and from their company, Allah Ta'ala has created the means that when you go to the company of the awliya, the walis of Allah, they've already reached to the crest of the wave. They have overcome all of the obstacles and the difficulties, and they have the ahlul yaqeen. When you sit with them, they have yaqeen. When we have given you the means to you, Allah Ta'ala says, that you've asked for dua, Allah Ta'ala says, over the path, the means for you. So don't waste your time in their company. Don't go towards something else. Don't ask them other questions. Don't meet them for some other reason. Don't go to them with some other niyyah, some other intention. Don't ask for anything from them in their company. Go with a full intention that Allah, we are seeking you, finding you, finding you. There are three things we need. Allah, we need yaqeen and sadiq, we need afa and afia. These three things we've come to get, and you've given us the means, inshallah, through the company of that wali of Allah, your teacher, and Allah will give you all of these three things. Because the dua has been accepted. And this is that dua that I promise to you, that inshallah if the time comes I will fulfill that hadith and complete the hadith. Oh my brothers, look, we are the sick people. We don't have yaqeen. Let's be honest. The yaqeen we should have. If we have yaqeen, we wouldn't commit any sins, would we? And our appearances would look like Rasulullah SAW, our libas, our attire, our lifestyle, our mannerism, behavior. But we are liars. And who are we lying to our desires, to our own nafs? When we don't, if we're doing something according to Rasulullah and Allah Ta'ala's deen, and if we're not doing it, we should slap ourselves that this is my iman, that I will depart this world with this iman, I will go into my grave with this iman. I don't even have yaqeen that Allah is watching me, and I'm opposing Allah, and I say that I have yaqeen and belief, the angels are sending curses on me. Isn't this the case when I'm sinning? So when this yaqeen comes into a person's heart that Allah is watching me, and at this point, that if I make this, commit this sin, this is the punishment for this, he won't go close to that sin. His yaqeen will be so strong that he can see he's going into Jahannam, into the hellfire. How can a person leave salah? Tell me. How can a person leave salah? That now is 7. Even if it's 1:30, we'll have to come. If it's 1:30 a.m, salah, we have to come. And our yaqeen tells us if we don't come, this will be the consequences. Isn't it? Tell me. So now tell me, that can a person leave the dhikr in the morning? Will we leave it? Because yaqeen is weak. Because in opposition to that, I'm following my nafs and my desires. I have to go to the shop. I have to do this action. I have to do that action. But there Allah Ta'ala is calling and he has fixed the time. That this is the time I'm giving you the reward after Fajr. Up to sunrise is present and it's there and you'll get it. So yaqeen should say, I'll take this reward and I'll look at everything else after. And this is called yaqeen, the people of yaqeen. Alhamdulillah, the friends of Allah, we go to the wali of Allah with this niyyah. Not once, I've seen many hundreds of people who had such yaqeen and they'd go to the company of the wali of Allah. And how they improved. And Allahu Akbar, they saw in the world. They, subhanAllah, saw this with my eyes. People who are not even close to the deen. But when they reached to Hazrat Sahib, my Shaykh, I've seen with his eyes his consequence, and I've seen his mot with my eyes, that his mot was the great, great consequence, a great result. And he's the person who took me to Hazrat Sahib in the first place. So Allah's Quran is haq. And Rasulullah's words are haq. And all of this that has been explained to us, that they are the means. Utilize the means if your niyyah is correct. If we go there, do dua for this, and so this can happen, and I'm not having success here in my house, I've got problems, and this issue, this phone came, and I need to do this, should feel ashamed. Presenting the dunyawi, worldly issues. Just like, for example, you go to the Rawdah Mubarak and do dua, I need this house, and my shop's not running, astaghfirullah. That what a place to ask. Think of what we are asking. We don't even know what we should be asking for, how we're asking. We're lost in the dunya. That today we don't even see in the generation that what people are asking for. What are they doing? In such a situation that we are asking for impure things, that Allah Ta'ala says the whole dunya, the material things, is not equivalent to the value of the wing of a mosquito. Rather, is the meaning of hadith, that the dead donkey carcass, rotten dead carcass, of a donkey, and the flies are there, and the Sahaba walking past, Rasulullah said, what's the value of this? And Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what can there be the value of this carcass? And Rasulullah said, the dunya is not even worth this. And you go and ask this from Wali Allah, do dua for me so this flourishes and runs and this happens and I get success and wealth and this loss and I've got this loss and that loss. Oh, servant of Allah, there's no loss. If you say Allah with a good niyyah, Allah Ta'ala's name has so much blessings, it will not cease in giving you the blessings. Why do we ask for the dunya? Why do we ask for material things? Why do we go to the Wali Allah and ask for guidance, for worldly guidance, material things? Let's sit for that, ask for that thing from the Wali. That for that reason he sat down and given you his company. Do we not know that I'm going to come, the time's going to come, my death, I'm going to die, after I die in the grave I'll be asked questions, and within seconds, minutes, hours this will happen. I'll say, hi, if only I asked a wali Allah to do dua for me for the hereafter, because this is the means for the success. Making fast and complaining, criticizing, going to the wali Allah with anger and making a fuss, and we complain, and I'm rich and he's poor. Or I've got knowledge, he hasn't got anything. Or this and that. This, our angle, our viewpoint, thinks we think that the wali Allah is asking, and give him £5, that's enough. Give him £10, that's enough. That's what we think. We think that the wali, the sheikh, he's asking, he's coming to ask. No, we don't need to give respect. Oh, friends of Allah, in the hereafter, we'll realize what was the maqam of the walis of Allah. What were their khankas and what was the maqam? And upon those people you laugh at today, the walis of Allah, you joke against them, mock them, we'll realize on the Day of Judgment how we wasted their sohbet, their company. We joked with them, mocked their company, and were disrespectful to them. We lowered their status, and the actions that were not compatible with the company of the Shaykh, we implemented those actions. Such a great maqam. In other words, imagine you're going to a king or a leader or a minister, prime minister, and you knock on the door and you say, and he says, SubhanAllah, here's £5, I take it. They'll say, SubhanAllah, you're coming to the king and you're giving £5, a wali wala, you're going to a wali wala, and you say, do dua that my dunya becomes better, that my worldly issues are resolved. Do you understand what I'm saying? You should make a standard of asking and what to ask for and the guidance you request. That's such an impure thing. The material things in the dunya, we should only desire them as much as they are necessary. Allah has given us a stomach, digestive system, and a body. Of course we can earn, we can work. Allah has promised that I will send your rizq to you. Fine, you carry on with the actions and your stomach will be filled. You'll continue to eat. Why are you worried, Allah Ta'ala says, about this? That wherever you look, when you should be asking for akhirah and the hereafter, Allah Ta'ala has heard your dua, given you the means, has taken you there. What else are you asking for from there? From the company of the wali, my brothers, we need to recognize this point. And this is a very valuable point, very valuable yaqeen. To attain yaqeen, to attain af, and to attain afiyah, where do we get this from? From the company, from the door of the wali of Allah, from their feet, from their slippers, from their shoes. Go to their company, learn dhikr of Allah, sit for the sake of Allah. Allah, go for the sake of Allah and leave for the sake of Allah. His favor isn't upon you. You are not favoring him for going, and nor does he care. No. Like my Hazrat used to say, rahmatullah, that nor is the person who's coming happy. Yeah. So there's no happiness about the man who's coming, and there's no sadness for the one who's leaving. That if we are coming, then there's no happiness for the one who's coming. The Shaykh isn't rely on that. And there's no lost sadness for the person who leaves. But when you attend the gathering of the Wali of Allah, the first sitting, you'll depart with your treasure chest full and the sins forgiven. You will attain the objective. Such walis of Allah, alhamdulillah, such walis of Allah Ta'ala has created that people, the common people, come with the desire to meet the wali of Allah and Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They are immersed in the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the true Shaykh, the true wali. And when the people go and say to the Shaykh, please tell me the solution, how can I do ziyarah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? I swear by Allah that when they depart, they do the ziyarah in the night in the dream. This is the relationship, that you ask for something good, isn't it? There's a standard. There's something good you're asking for. After tawbah, ask for your shaykh, for the guidance, that we have sold ourselves in your hand and we have assigned ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have so much love, I have so love, I'm desperate. Please tell me, how do I attain ziyarah of Rasulullah? And this happens, and the proof is there. So whatever we need to ask for, when we ask, what we ask for, etc., we should ask something that fulfills the rights of the status we're on. Don't waste the time and we go to the great company of the wali of Allah and we're asking for dunya. Don't ask for dunya. Don't speak dunya. The wali of Allah, mashallah, they have a lot of humility and they have a lot of patience. They get pain, and when a person goes to a wali, a sheikh, a friend of Allah, and asks for him to do dua for dunya or ask for advice, and they say, what's happened to the world? Why people coming here that wake up? Maybe there's something lacking in me, the sheikh thinks. That why is it that the people of the dunya, why don't they learn your name? Why don't they do your dhikr? Why don't they understand that after learning your name, such a valuable thing you've given to them, your dhikr you've given to them, such a great thing you've given to them, and you've saved them from the badness. So why is he going towards haram, unlawfulness? Why do we go and waste that company and the dhikr that has been taught to you? Allah Ta'ala's name is in our hearts. Allah, what a great name. The greatest name between the whole heavens and the earth. We have earned all of the treasures. One saying Allah, 70 times Allah Ta'ala glances to that person with his rahmah, mercy. And if it comes into the heart of a person, the name of Allah, and despite attaining that, the person goes towards haram, does wrong actions, he doesn't have the feeling, awareness, he doesn't have the elevation or the status of what the name of Allah is, doesn't have the appreciation and recognition. Brothers, this is sad. Let's ask Allah for forgiveness, true forgiveness. That Allah, we need to understand what we are. What does Allah Ta'ala want to give to us? He wants to deliver to us His closeness. And we're in the court of Allah. This life is for a few days. Whatever we can do, we can attain from Allah Ta'ala in terms of the rahmah and the mercy. So today is the dua that we recited, discussed, and I presented the subject to you. It was due upon me, the subject, so Mawlana Sahib reminded me, and mashallah, that it wasn't nothing else that I was thinking of speaking about. So today we've had a great discussion. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq, and you, may Allah Ta'ala, we should ask Allah for yaqeen and afa and afiyah, and ask Allah Ta'ala for the means for this. We should take hold of the means and utilize it, practice it. We can't just attain by asking, we have to make effort. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين